Do you like film? Do you like comedy? Do you like your childhood memories?
One more take?
Yeah.
Lewis and Pete's bad nostalgia film club.
Each episode sees comedian Lewis Charlesworth and Pete Phillipson revisit a classic childhood film through the eyes of an adult to see how messed up it truly is. Be it Back to the Future for its story of incest, Mrs. Doubtfire for its tale of the creepy cross-dressing father babysitter, or Home Alone with its sinister home invasion toddler torturer nightmare.
Bad nostalgia.
And hello, you beautiful listeners. Welcome to Bad Nostalgia Series 2 with me, comedian Lewis Charlesworth.
And me, Pete Phillipson.
Here we are, we're rocking it out, brother. Episode 2.
Yes.
What film we got this week?
We've got a hip old granny who can hip hop, beep hop, dance till you drop, and yo, make a wicked cup of cuckoo.
Oh, look at you, Pete. He wasn't even reading his notes thing. He just came out with it. You learned that for the show,
mate,
didn't you?
It's deeply ingrained.
That's what
it's
it is.
It's deeply ingrained, mate.
Right. So you've already got it to hand, have you?
You just got it in the archive.
Again, it's another film.
It's quote central, mate.
It's just from your history. It's just ingrained, and it's in your body, and it's in your mind. It's already there. He was staring at me dead in the eyeballs as he said it.
Word for word.
I was looking to see if you were reading it off your notes or anything. You didn't. There's no IMDb here, mate. No, you are the IMDb of this, mate.
I am.
Oh, we've got a good one then, haven't we?
We have, mate.
It's a great series. We've got so many great films this series.
Yeah.
And Doubtfire has always been an obvious one, hasn't it?
Yeah. Why have we waited until now, though?
I don't know. It's such an obvious choice, but in the best possible way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the premise just fits the premise of this show.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a family film about a man who dresses up as an old woman to spy on his kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the song for the actual show, isn't it? We describe it because it's absolutely high concept, creepy weirdness.
Yeah.
It's tailor-made.
And there's so much stuff you miss out on as a kid.
I know.
So much.
It's a completely new experience when you go back to it.
Yeah.
With pubes when you go back to it. And it's just, oh my God, it's right up there. It's bonkers, mate.
Yeah.
It's juicy, that's what it is.
And a bit emotional as well, obviously,
emotional,
with Robin Williams.
I had a little tear in my eye.
It wasn't his swan song. It was 1993. It was one of his early works, if anything. I don't know why I said swan song.
It's swan song minus 38, really, wasn't it? He made a hell of a load of films after this. But should we just get nostalgic already?
We've started already, mate.
Well, let's get our nostalgic music out of our ass, shall we?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So, Mrs. Doubtfire, what year is it, Pete?
1993, mate.
93?
I was 7.
Is this the most recent film we've done in this series, 93? I think it is.
Yeah, do you know what? I think it might be.
It's the most contemporary film. We're still pre-CGI, but, you know, it was of a period where you could be very politically incorrect. It was just on the cusp of that.
Just before
we started kind of moderating what we were saying to not offend people.
Yeah.
Just before that became
hip. I think you're bang on there, yeah.
Yeah, because he runs riot.
Oh, yeah.
But sorry, no, we've been nostalgic. But back in the day, oh God, we loved being inappropriate about all different demographics of people, didn't we? Oh, 1993, and how old were we? I was 8 years old, you...
I was 7.
7, just... I'm not doing it. Right, and can we have a bit more of that, Michelle, please? We've only just got going with our nostalgia, and then you're just cutting it off there, just because we're mentioning the fact that we're a year... But how did you feel about it when you were a kid? You touched upon that. Flesh it out.
So, all the other films, okay,
yeah.
That we've sort of touched on, you know, Back to the Future, Flight of the Navigator, they were always a bit of a vanity project for me because I always wanted to be in the film. I wanted to be the kid from Flight of the Navigator. I wanted to be Marty McFly.
It was a nice little fantasy.
This was a film that I didn't put myself in at all.
No.
Which is
Neither
weird.
Neither did I.
I didn't put myself in it.
No.
It was a film that I used to watch with my whole family.
How did you experience then? If you weren't in it, then when you're watching
know,
it, you're watching
so,
it as if it's a goldfish
so
bowl.
I was so obsessed as a kid. I was
like
so
they're aliens.
Wanting to be in everything. So
yeah.
I don't know why.
You're highly empathetic as a child, aren't you?
Yeah.
If you enjoy something, it's because you literally see yourself in it.
But you
managed to enjoy this film as a child, love it, but not be in it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was... And I think as well, I think it might have something to do with the fact that I used to watch it with my whole family, and it's still a film that the family quote to this day.
Really?
Yeah.
And they little Lincolnshire little clan.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get the Lincolnshire vibe from it, with it being in San Fran.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess she does have potatoes at one point. She does a bit of gardening. When the goats eat the garden, I bet they. Oh, I bet your mum related to that, didn't she? Like, oh, bloody get on. Sorry, I'm really bashing your family. Carry on.
because
where did the pleasure come from? Was it Robin?
I think it must have been.
Yeah.
I think it was just such a good vibe, because I used to watch it with my family, and they used to laugh at what I can see was all of Robin Williams' improv, which was completely honestly over my head.
As an adult now, you could as an adult comedian, you could appreciate that so much.
And it was so, I had a very, very stable, although, you know, we were a weird Lincolnshire family that sat around, you know.
Yeah, so it's all relative, really, isn't it?
As a very stable family, so.
As Lincolnshire families go.
As Lincolnshire families go, because they don't go anywhere else. But
good point.
I had a very stable family, so the divorce element of it didn't really affect me at all. That didn't sadden me, because it was so far removed. I was like,
that was the fantasy aspect for you.
Yeah, I was just like, not that I wanted my parents to get divorced.
No, I don't mean fantasies. Oh God, rewind it where she says, "I don't fucking love you." I don't mean that. I mean fantasy as if it's so far removed.
Not fancy
as in something you think about and get stiff about. Sorry, I always mention erections in the first section. I'm
like,
carry on.
Because I was always like, well, my parents are never going to get divorced. So
it wasn't troubling for you.
It wasn't troubling for me, no.
Yeah.
No. It's like going to a World War One site, do you know what I mean? And going, well, this is interesting.
Are you
but it's
appreciate
so far
it, and you understand you, it,
I
but it's like,
it.
It's a computer game
it.
As a child.
Exactly, yeah.
And those little dots, they're just dots.
So yeah, so there was pixels. So there was
dark. Yeah, so no, I'm with you on that. And Robin, for me, he just made it. And yeah, I totally agree. I didn't see myself as anyone in that film. I just saw my dad in Robin Williams, and he was like this insane version. Even though my dad is insane anyway, but I'll pretend my dad's normal. Right? If your dad's like normal and straight laced, then it could be projected through the Robin Williams character, and he was
definitely.
Like the funnest father you could ever imagine, kind of thing. You would just follow through, and you wanted him and his kids to be reconciled, and then so it was a nice little sweet story.
Do you know
story.
What? That must have been it.
Yeah. That and the fact he tries to get his kids back through such silly means.
Yeah, yeah.
Is thrilling for a child, I think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
To see the dad be the silly man rather than the straight one telling you to be normal.
Yeah.
It's fun to have that. And that's kind of what Robin Williams was all about, and where his family appeal came from, wasn't it? Is that he was the big kid, and this was just the perfect vehicle for that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just a great story to service his persona.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was
And also as well, you know, it's 1993, a man dressed as a woman is hilarious.
Oh, it's absolutely.
That's
hilarity personified.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Has he got a willy? Has he got a foo-foo? Oh! Okay, there's a transgender community, but people didn't think about that.
That was not in people's heads back then, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But that's partly where I think that the film is actually quite dodged when you rewatch it now.
Yeah, yeah,
and
absolutely.
In a lot of ways, I do not think it would ever be made today.
No, absolutely
so
not.
So I think that's what brings us perfectly on to actually deconstruct it from the perspective of adults in 2015, hence bad nostalgia. But before, let's listen to the original squeaky clean trailer from the film Mrs. Doubtfire. See you soon.
This marriage is ending.
My marriage is not ending. It's just on hiatus.
To put his family back together, Daniel Hillard needed a job.
Do you have any special skills?
I do voices.
Yeah!
Nancy and I are still looking for the other half of my head.
Look at me right now, Moneypenny. I want to undo that bow and get to know you.
Mr. Hillard, do you consider yourself humorous?
I used to.
And a decent home for his kids.
How do you like it?
Can't you just tell Mom you're sorry?
But he found a way.
I'm placing an ad for a housekeeper.
Housekeeper? Could you make me a woman?
To have both.
Wow.
Let's pray.
Hello? Euphigenia Doubtfire.
Papa's got a brand new bed.
He's still the same old dad.
Good.
Only better.
Dinner is served, madam.
Wow.
I'd love to get reacquainted.
Can't you see the lust in that man's eyes?
Accent's a little kind of muddled there.
Really? Well, so's your tan.
The tourists, they ran that way. It was a run by fruiting.
This holiday season.
Surprise.
Robin Williams. Sally Field.
Who needs a husband when I've got you?
In a Chris Columbus film.
Back off!
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Gotta talk to you.
A father's work. Is never done.
Oh, first here's a woman. I'm getting hot flashes.
Hello, we're back, and that was the lovely trailer. Does that bring the memories back of when you watched it just last night, Nate?
It so does.
Oh,
so
it does. It's just always there, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got access to it. You can press play in your head at any point.
Also,
really.
Mate, how long were trailers? Because I've been meaning to bring this up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You don't get that same info in a trailer
you
anymore,
don't.
Do you?
It's always kind of thing. It's
yeah,
not,
yeah.
The back then, they just would tell you, literally narrate the whole story.
Yeah.
Which I liked.
I did.
Right, so
good nostalgia. That's not the point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good nostalgia. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's dirty. Disgusting nostalgia. Right, so that was, we'd done the opening bit with the nostalgic bit, and that was all lovely. And we got all, like, teary-eyed almost just talking about it, weren't it? Just
yeah.
Like, our father's just been channeled through this lovely man yeah. called Robin Williams, who is now dead. So we had that lovely kind of bit of nostalgia. And but we're gonna do away with it now. We don't want to be happy. We don't want to be sweet. We want to tell you how messed up this film actually is, right? So let's just do it. So, in a nutshell, synopsis.
Yes. So, Robin Williams is a jobbing actor, okay, with a career-focused wife and three kids who he really, really adores, okay?
No question.
But also, Robin Williams, he's a bit sort of errant and he's a bit irresponsible as well.
He's a big kid. He's like us.
He's a big kid. He's a good dad,
yeah.
But he's a big kid.
He's an impractical human being.
Yeah.
Adult.
He's getting fired from his jobs. He's, you know, running wild with the kids while the mum's at work. And this all becomes too much for his wife, played by Sally Field.
Yeah.
And she decides to divorce him. She decides enough is enough. Mm-hmm. But he has to be with his kids. He really, really wants to be with his kids. So his wife advertises for a housekeeper, okay? And what Robin Williams does is he decides to disguise himself as a female housekeeper, okay?
Like you do?
Yeah. Get the job so he can spend time with his kids who are in custody.
Watching them behind the prosthetics yeah. and fake tits.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? Yeah. Oh, God, it's back. Oh,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, did you forget how tight this new series
yeah,
is?
Yeah.
I always forget that. Oh, God, moving on. Let's get over ourselves, okay. so where should we start? What's the first major point of the disturbingness, would you say, Pete? I we always like to start with the very first scene.
Yeah.
Do you see anything wrong with that very first scene when he's in his job that he's about to walk out of because he didn't agree with it morally because he's got cartoon smoking cigarettes? That's to be applauded. But the way in which he actually leaves that job is, I don't know, it's slightly suspect, and I think it touches upon the later politically incorrect jokes that completely litter this film. And if you're gonna be astringent, if you're going to be like tough on it, then you wouldn't get past the first 5 minutes. Because
no.
Everyone gets it. We hit it at the Asians. You got the transgender community. You got the homosexual community.
Yeah.
Just anybody. Just everything. It just
yeah.
gets thrown in there. Because one of the first things I remember is he says he needs to leave because he wants to be like Gandhi because he's on a moral crusade.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're like Gandhi, you're on a moral crusade, just leaving this great job because you don't agree with it morally. And then he just stands up, and I actually laughed my head off, but it is actually kind of inappropriate by our standards. He just stands up and says, "Well, in that case, I better go." And then he just leaves, doesn't he?
He goes,
and it's the worst Indian accent I've ever seen anyone try to do.
"Well, I've got to do what I've got to do."
Pete, you are too good at that.
Yeah, but the thing is, the reason I remember that is because as a kid, obviously, squeaky clean film.
Yeah.
I didn't know, the Gandhi bit, I didn't know who Gandhi was. I just thought, oh, he's doing a funny,
just doing
funny
a
voice.
A funny
me
voice,
and my
yeah.
sister used to do that all the time.
He does so
we
many of them.
Me and my sister, we always used to go, "Well, I've got to do what I've got to do."
Yeah.
Who knows how many Asian families I've offended like,
yeah.
over the years. Honestly, we used to say that
well, they
like,
won't be
all
listening to tonight, will they?
Yeah.
Right,
We're happy to be in America.
There we go. Yeah, foreign voice. Oh, Michelle, good timing. So after that, he goes home, and then it happens really quickly, right? Because it's quite a long kids' film, quite a long family film. But the next scene, he puts on the big party for his son. And then that is the scene where the mum comes home and pretty much says, get out of our life, I want to divorce you. And then, so watching it now as an adult, when I was a kid, the whole divorce aspect of it just completely flew over my head, like you were saying before. Because my parents did get divorced later,
yeah,
but way after when I first saw this film. So this film has more meaning to me now in a weird way than it did back then.
And as well, did you think that, when I was a kid, I thought they were just getting divorced because he had that party.
Yeah, I literally thought because I didn't really know what divorce was. I was like, well, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah.
You the goats weed on things. Yeah. I'd divorce him too. But yeah, she turns around and she says, I think we're going to get divorced. And as I was watching it the other night, I was thinking, well, they've not really given us any backstory to why she would divorce him. The reasons she wants to divorce him clearly aren't in the film. And so obviously that's the tip of the iceberg. It's the final thing he does is the party. And then she's like, well, this has been going on for years. And they kind of allude to this backstory and bad marriage, like, yeah, we've been trying hard for 12 years. And then she says, I want to divorce you. And I think they didn't include all that stuff because in like the backstory of what Robin Williams has done to kind of deserve having divorced so suddenly, he's obviously been like the worst fucking father and husband.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
if they actually showed that, then it would be a completely different film. So you had to show him from the point where you get sympathy from him, which is when he gets divorced.
Yeah.
But I do not know what happened before up to that point. I've actually got a bit of trivia beforehand, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what they did say is they did have some alternative scenes which were actually in the film.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, you know, that the neighbour, the old woman.
Yeah.
Who calls them Sally Field to say, oh, God, he's having a party, blah, blah, blah. She had much more of a part in the film. And in the film, there's like some subplot where she hates the Robin Williams character, and when he's dressed up as Mrs. Doubtfire, he ends up speaking to her quite a lot, and she was like, yeah, well, he did abuse the children and he did shag other women, so I'm glad she divorced him. So they ended up cutting that stuff out, but that's obviously, that's in the subtext there, but you wouldn't know unless you kind of read up on it.
No, not at all.
So this man, the Robin Williams character, is, you know, we thought he was the perfect dad, but he's obviously quite a sadistic little shit.
We hang out with a lot of actors and comedians. We know that's how true. Incredibly unstable they are.
The real so life I think of there's a performer.
Some real, I think there's some real sort of like underlying mental, yeah, illness there that has affected like
and
their
what
relationship.
What kind of man comes to the conclusion that, oh, I can't see my kids? Right, well, I'll just dress up as an old woman and spy on them then. And it's like, well, what's your justification for that, Robin? Oh, I'm an actor. Like, yeah, it's a bit of a weak justification for you to like actually dress up as an old woman for about 3 months, look after your children. I don't know, it's not quite, yeah, strong. There's like there's something going on in,
yeah,
his head.
But that's what the film was all about, is bad nostalgia. And when I was a kid, I hated that scene where they got divorced, because I was just like, can we just hurry up and get to like the man looks like sort of the,
yeah,
you know, the like the cock in the frock.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I just want to get to that bit. That's all
the
I want to see.
The frock.
That's all I want to, yeah, see. I want to get past this divorce bit. But now you're watching, you think, oh, he's been really irresponsible, and he's been, and you know, she's like a career focused like businesswoman,
yeah,
and he never takes anything seriously at all.
It's like, really sad.
I thought it was just the horse piss in the,
yeah,
living room. I literally thought that's all it was.
And when
now
the goat
like,
eats,
oh,
the
no,
gondolas or whatever they're called.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I just thought it was that one scene, and he was a dick, and just go away. Now can we start seeing him tuck his willy in between his legs and put,
yeah,
it on,
yeah,
someone's dress?
Exactly. And also, I'm getting a little bit ahead here, but
go
you,
for it, mate.
You realise that. Because when he becomes Mrs. Doubtfire, and obviously he's amazing and the kids love him, she loves him, you realise, if only he'd been Mrs. Doubtfire when he was married to her.
When things were going off of it.
Things would have been fine.
Yeah.
If only he'd cooked a few meals and tidied the house.
Yeah.
She would have loved him.
Yeah.
Like that's all he had to do.
Yeah. Like 8 years in, if they had a bad time, and then he was like, oh, bouncing off the walls, snorting cocaine like he does and stuff. And,
yeah,
then she's like, I'm Sally Field. I just want to go to bed. I want to fucking look at my architect shit, and then I want to just dream about Pierce Brosnan. Leave me alone. He's bouncing off the walls. He's like, please have sex with me. Have sex with me. She says, no. He's like, oh, time to get the old lady outfit. Yeah, now it's going to work. Yes, indeed.
Yes, Michelle.
Yeah. Now she'll shag me. Not Michelle. So what else have we got?
So he gets divorced.
He gets divorced.
And
and then he got the court case bit,
yeah,
and they're saying, no, you are not allowed to see your kids.
Before that, though, he goes to stay with his brother, who I think, I mean, I'm not entirely sure.
You're going out on a limb.
I'm going out on a limit.
Yeah.
I think there might be a slight possibility. I mean, you're going to call me crazy.
Yeah.
But I think.
I'm going to call you prejudiced.
I think his brother might be gay.
Yes, I think he might be. And he's got his gay, what might be his gay partner. That
yeah.
Is yep.
I mean, and they both wear waistcoats and they're theatrical makeup artists. And one of them talks like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I might be being prejudiced, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, maybe you just, I think you might be just bringing something to it there, Pete. I mean, you're kind of obsessed with that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's
obviously an awful stereotype, is my point.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Very well made.
Yeah.
Very well made. So he goes to his brother, who may or may not be gay, and they kind of...
He's definitely gay.
They put the stuff on his face, and he decides to become the woman. Sorry, I think we've jumped ahead, haven't we? But he decides to... The kids go around to his flat, and he lives in a hovel.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And one of his daughters is like, this is horrible, you're a disgrace, what you're doing, you've got to be trying harder. And it's like, this guy's had a really tough time. He can never tie down a job. And now suddenly he's had his beautiful kids taken away from him, and now they're just supposed to be staying with him. And then she's kind of kicking him when he's down. And then Sally Field turns up, and... Given that Sally Field's taken everything away from this guy, regardless of what he's done, don't you think she's like a real cold woman?
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
She turns up and she's like, oh, I love your flat. It's really lovely.
One of the things I realise as well is that Robin Williams, I mean, because, you know, he dresses up as a housekeeper to see his kids. He doesn't do it to see his wife. He doesn't give a shit about her at all.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she must have been just like, absolutely horrible to him. Like, it's not an issue at all that she's left him. It's just an issue that he can't see her kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they see him, and then he changes the number on a form so that no one can ring her house. That's when he starts this kind of his journey to being a really weird, creepy, obsessive father.
So
he's made sure that no one else can apply for the job. And we don't see him actually have this light bulb moment, but pretty much the next scene is him ringing up the house with all these bizarre different scenarios and crazy creatures that he's just invented. I mean, he could have been a bit more tamer with it, really, because as far as he's concerned, he's in the world of the film.
Yeah,
he's not playing
yeah.
up to anyone. He's not trying to make anyone laugh by doing all these voices. But he creates all these, like, really outlandish characters. And it's like, well, why don't you just play someone down the phone who's slightly incompetent? But it's like, no, they have to be a really aggressive transsexual who still has a penis, which is obviously a bit transphobic. Yeah. Or they have to be someone who twats kids round the head. And he's like, it's quite extreme, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And also, as well, there's another thing we haven't touched on. That's the introduction of Pierce Brosnan's character.
Who is creepy as fuck.
He is creepy as fuck. But there's a bit of sexism here. Because, well, first of all, one of the good things the film does is Sally Field's character, they've made her sort of the strong businesswoman. Do you know what I mean? The career-focused one and the relationship, the woman. And Pierce Brosnan turns up. And her boss is like, oh yeah, he really wants to work with you. He's just literally there because he wants to bang it. He's employed her for this project. And there's that awful scene where she's this businesswoman. She's showing through all her architect, like interior design, like sketches and things like that.
And he's just
staring at her like that. She's like, I think we should put a grand piano in this room. And he's like, is grand piano code for my dick? Do you know what I mean? That's all he's doing. He's just looking at her like, yeah, do you want to go out?
What's the line he says? He just says, you are just good.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, well, if we look at the sketches, Pierce, and he's just like, yeah, do you want to go out sometime? And she carries on, but
and that's
just doesn't stop.
Before she's told him that she's just about to have
I know.
A divorce.
That's what.
And he's trying to shag her.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Like, every single person in this film is morally bankrupt at this point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But he's just sex on legs, isn't he? He's gorgeous in this.
He's 42 as well.
I forgot how gorgeous that man was.
This was pre Bond as well.
Yeah.
Before this,
he was just
the guy from Mrs. Doubtfire, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we're getting off topic.
But he used Bond, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He used it. But yeah, we're getting off the subject.
Yeah.
But he's gonna come through a lot of shit in the second half of this film, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah,
I feel for the little man. I feel for him. So then Robin Williams, then he approaches the family and he gets the job and they meet him for the first time. And there he is, and he begins this new relationship with the family, and they get closer, and more really weird, disgusting things happen once he gets in the family and in the house in the guise of an old woman.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. We're going to have some words from our sponsors.
Get in, Robin. We've got a mission.
Oh, what a lovely car. Oh, I love the leather.
Robin, we have a mission.
Look at the muck on here.
Pay attention, Robin, because today it's our responsibility to save radio.
Can we call in Dorothy's diner first? I'm gagging for a brew.
But we've got to tell the world about FabRadioInternational.com.
Ooh, are they the bad guys?
No, Robin. They're our heroes.
Bad nostalgia.
Hello and we're back and welcome to the third section of Bad Nostalgia. Do please follow us on Twitter at Bad Nostalgia. Just pick up your phone, just tweet us, just get in touch, follow us, join our clan. We're still young, we're only in the second episode of the second series. We're still learning, we're still chiselling ourselves. But we got a great show, we got a great concept, we got a great producer, we got a phenomenal pair of presenters. Oh, God. And we're just having a lovely time. We're just getting our teeth into...
We're just having a great time.
We're just having a great time, aren't we? Getting our teeth into Mrs. Doubtfire. I did jump ahead there, Pete, didn't I? You wanted to say something about the point where he gets all the prosthetics made.
Yeah, there's a couple of racial bonus points there, I think. First of all, there's a woman who... I mean, what nationality? The one with the nails who's like, every night is like the Bill Hicks. Where's she meant to...
You nail all these impressions,
is it... Where's she meant to be from?
I don't... I think it's Latino, Puerto Rican kind of thing.
We're happy to be in America.
Yeah, that's close. Exactly. That's one of them, definitely. Bloody hell.
Is it racist? Am I being racist to the fact I don't even know what stereotype they're actually doing?
Mate. No,
yeah. Yeah, I don't even know what they're... And then there's the Jewish woman as well.
Yeah, which is just overt, really, isn't
it? Yeah.
I couldn't work out if it was a woman. Was it a woman? But I mean, it was so over the top Jewish.
Oh no! I read in trivia. It's meant to be... I'm getting ahead here, but it's meant to be a man.
It's meant to be a man. Yeah, that's what I saw. Yeah, but then he's got...
But why's he got a scarf?
He's got a scarf on his head. Yeah.
And what does she say? She says like something that's just such a stereotype. It's so Jewish. I don't even
know.
Well,
they end up saying, "I will never buy cribbiness
from a moil." What does she even say? What even is that?
Don't they start singing "Matchmaker"? Matchmaker. Yeah. Is that from Fiddler on the Roof?
Fiddler on the Roof. Yeah.
Which is... That's about Jewishness, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah.
Thank you. So right, that was your point. You wanted
that
to make...
That was just a couple of racial bonus points in there. Yeah.
Okay. So bringing us back up to speed, second half of the film, he has established himself as a very good housekeeper in the form of the Mrs. Doubtfire. And there she is, the classic Mrs. Doubtfire scream. So he makes them a nice meal, he kind of cuts corners, for some reason decides to be really evil the first time he goes round.
Yeah.
Makes them do all the
housework. There's a bit of slave labour going on, isn't there?
Yeah. I still, to this day, don't understand why he does that.
I don't know, because he wants to spend time with his kids. And then at this point, they fucking hate him.
And he has a little cocktail, doesn't he?
Is that
like the evil kind of Robin Williams past coming through the film there, maybe? Because they never quite explain that bit, do they?
Yeah.
Like,
piss off, Lou.
And also, what threat has he given them to control them that way, like on day one? Because that girl's like 15, 16, and she's scrubbing the floor. It's like, what has he done to her to get her to do that?
Yeah.
Like, what threat has he made that we don't see?
There's a scene that was cut out.
There's another scene when he cut out when he's like, do it, and like, no. He says, do it, and then no. And he lifts up his skirt, shows his testicles, and says, fucking do it.
That could only have come out of your mouth.
I know, sorry. Rosie was watching before, and I didn't say anything rude. It's like, as soon as she's left, I start getting out.
Is that... Why did she go? Because just so you know, Lewis's fiancée was in the studio, but she's not anymore. Because she hates this film for some reason.
She absolutely despises it. No, it's not this one. She hates E.T.
Oh, is it E.T.?
Yeah, it's E.T. She might come in for E.T. next week. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah,
she always hated it. She didn't even have nostalgia for it.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
I know you love her and you've asked her to marry her, but when she said that...
Not just because I'm on radio. Come on.
But, yeah, you love her and you've asked her to marry her. You're getting married, didn't it? But it's like, when she said she didn't like E.T., were you not a bit like...
I did gasp. I took a bit of a backward step then.
Was it a bit cold feet?
It was scary, yeah.
Mentally,
I mean, I still live with it, but mentally I took myself out of a relationship for a week.
You're so passionate about films, aren't you?
So passionate.
That, like...
You need to be on the same page, mate.
Yeah.
There's a big fat...
You don't like E.T.? That's like saying you don't like candy.
Piss off, Lou.
Yes, and that's a nice welcome reminder from Michelle that we need to get back on course.
Yeah.
Piss off, Lou. Right, so where are we? He's looking after the kids.
I didn't realise as well, this is another point. Just the absolute horror show that Robin Williams' character goes through, because not only is he seeing his ex-wife with another man, a much better looking, more successful man that is Pierce Brosnan, but she keeps coming up to him asking for advice, going
all the time.
Can you imagine, like, if your girlfriend split with you dressed up as someone else and she confided in you as, like, you know, her, like, new female best friend, and she was coming up to you going, I really want to shag him, how long do you think I should wait before I, you know, get some new dick? I mean, I've split with my husband, I mean, I don't really give a shit anymore, I want to shag him, I really, really want to shag him, the only reason I haven't shagged him is because I think, you know, there's something morally wrong with it. Just tell me, Mrs. Doubtfire, just tell me I can bang him, that's all I want you to say. And it's just like, this is Robin Williams, this is her husband, it must be so degrading for him.
You wouldn't want to engage with it, would you? Just be like, I don't know, you just change the subject. But every time he's got something to say, isn't he? He's like, just stay celibate for the rest of your life.
But man, it's really sad. It's not really funny.
No,
the fact that he's like, oh no, I wouldn't do anything at all. I'd just remain celibate. It's like, oh,
because he never has a love interest in the film either, does he? So he's just like this lonely, creepy, weird, out of work actor who's actually just working as a babysitter. But the only way he can get that job is by dressing up as an old woman, staying celibate, literally and metaphorically tucking his penis in between his legs, and the nearest he comes, no pun intended, actually is intended, the nearest he comes to actually coming is when he gets on that bus and that old man keeps trying to creep onto him every single time. This old man is clearly grappling with his own repressed homosexuality, because every time that Robert Williams just like displays something that shows that he's clearly a man in drag, the bus driver just becomes more attracted to him.
It's like Partridge, isn't it?
He stands up and he's like 7 foot. He's like, oh, I like them tall. And then the next time he gets on the bus, he's got his knees showing. We've already talked about how fucking hairy Robin Williams is. So his knee's out and he sees this insanely disturbingly hairy knee and he's like, oh, I like that in a woman. Mediterranean look. I'm just like, oh,
what happened to be in America?
Man. Yeah. Just racial bonus points there.
Racial bonus points as well.
I like that Mediterranean. What's Mediterranean? Like Italian?
Is that Mediterranean? I don't remember.
What's
the
Mediterranean?
Scene.
Hairy legs.
I don't remember Sophie Loren playing Teen Wolf. Right? I don't remember. That is not the Mediterranean look.
Yes.
This guy's looking for an excuse, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Sick.
Yes.
Huh? God, yeah. Love it.
He's probably just thought about that fetish for so long. All he's wanted for so long is like a 60-year-old housekeeper that looks exactly like a man and probably is a man, and that's what he's wanked about for so long, and it's finally happened.
It's pre-internet as
can
well,
can you imagine? Yeah
so he's had a
happened.
Thinky wank for like 45 years,
yeah,
married to his wife who he doesn't love because she's actually got a vagina,
yeah,
and he's been repressed, poor bloke, and the only way he can let it through is through fancying this bloke, really, who's like pathetically dressed up as a woman.
And he's a bus driver as well, so he's like, well, I've got status here, I'm driving the bus,
exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
And I'm
driving
make the a bus move all the time, so I can pick up these old broads and just have a look at
There's
them.
There's not many trans clubs he can go to.
Exactly, he's got his own little trans
he
club.
He has to wait for a hairy Mediterranean woman.
Yeah,
on the bus.
Like it, mate.
Yeah.
We spent about 5 minutes on that one point.
Yeah.
So there's lots of other little bits, and it all goes well. He's looking after them, but then he becomes gradually more and more sinister, and it becomes less about his job and more about him encroaching himself on the family's personal lives, doesn't it? And he tries to kind of influence things, like as you said, he speaks to Sally Field and says, "Just remain celibate for the rest of your life."
Yeah.
And then he meets Pierce Brosnan and is like, "Oh, it's like a thick stew, your name." And then as soon as he sees his car, he rips off the Mercedes sign and hands it to him. And then he does all sorts of stuff to Pierce.
And there's a real darkness to him and a real sort of this passive aggressiveness that I didn't pick up on before. You know when he first
It's relentless, yeah, isn't you know it? It's funny for like the first three times, but it's so relentless.
I don't think it's that funny. I think it's more subtle than that.
Yeah.
Like when he goes around for the first time and he makes her a cup of tea, And she's like, oh, you know where everything is. And he's like, well, everything's just so well labelled, isn't it? You know, yeah. I'm surprised there's not a little fucking label here that says spoons. Do you know what I mean? What else is in this drawer? My fucking dick.
Yeah. Like, do you know? It's horrible to Sally Field as well. But she never notices it. Yeah. And I think because the audience is supposed to just accept it because you're like, oh, he's an old woman. No one listens to old women. But some of the things, the cutting remarks he comes out with, you know, when she tries to dress up for her birthday and is like, I think you need to do something that's more your age. She's like, mate, if you are a woman, she believes you're a woman, saying that to another woman, I think that's a bit fucking out of order.
Piss off, Lou.
It's just so unethical as well, because it's like Sally Field confides in Mrs. Doubtfire so much. It's like going to see a psychiatrist for like months on end and telling them absolutely everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the end, they just whip the cock out and go, yeah, I'm actually your ex-husband. That's who I've been on, like, demasking.
And you've had a piece of this.
Yeah. That's who you've been told. It's... Oh, man.
And then his creepiness kind of just culminates in, obviously, in the final scene, in that big set piece. There's so many great set pieces that this film's kind of built around, and the final one, when they're having the meal in that restaurant, and he's having to run between the two tables, because he's got his really important interview with the guy who runs the TV station and then, as himself, and then he's going to come back and be Mrs. Doubtfire. The creepiness culminates in the way that he literally tries to kill Pierce Brosnan in the meal. Because he says, oh, yeah, I don't like pepper. He's like, right.
I'm allergic.
Good.
Yeah, I'm allergic to it. Allergic could mean anything.
It could mean. And he is pretty far on the spectrum, I think, with the way he reacts to it.
Yeah.
So he goes in the back and just puts a shitload of cayenne pepper, which is the strongest pepper, on his
meal. I know it's not what this show's about, but how can he not see the pepper on it?
It's like half a tub. I know, yeah. I don't blame him, though. I think it looks really nice, to be honest. I've always thought there's the fronds.
But the thing is, you watch it now and you realise how sad it is, and the fact it is just, it's not so much about a guy, it is about a guy who loves his kids and he wants to see them, but it's also about a man having a massive mental breakdown dressing up as a woman. And you kind of, when I watched it now, I think, do you know what? Yeah, I'd try and kill Pierce Brosnan.
In the middle of a frenzy.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he's a target you can hone in on. He's completely irrational, but he's something you can just say, right, he's the object of my fucking hatred, so I'm going to aim at him. And
because
I think
he just
did that,
because
didn't he?
I was reading in the trivia in the film, he was originally meant to be a villain, but he's really likeable. He's a father figure, and that's the depressing thing. He'd be the perfect father.
The Pierce Brosnan guy.
Yeah, the perfect stepfather.
He's not
for his
a shit.
Kids. Yeah.
He's gorgeous, so you think, oh, he's going to be playing around, isn't he? That's why they've gone for him being so beautiful. It's like, no, he's actually just like this angelic god of a man.
Yeah.
And then Robin Williams is just horrible to him.
And Robin Williams is not only witnessing a guy moving on his family, he's witnessing it while he's dressed as a woman.
Yeah.
It's so humiliating.
Do you not find it weird as well when they find out, obviously, that Robin Williams is a man in a woman's clothing?
The two older kids. Yeah.
And they have that really weird, incredibly transphobic moment where he sees this woman have a penis and then he runs out. He's like, we need to call the cops. He's a she. We need to fucking kill him, just because he seemed like what he thought was a woman having a penis. God bless him if he ever does actually meet someone in the trans community. But after that, they know his secret. And don't you think it's, like, extra creepy when they see him being really passive-aggressive to his mother, to their mother and their mother's new fancy man, knowing what's actually going on?
Because after
they see his penis, they know it's the father who's just creeping on to the mother and the Pierce Brosnan character because he hates them both. And in the film, they kind of laugh it off, but it's like, if you knew that, I think you would be a bit disturbed, to be honest.
And also the scene where she's trying to figure out what dress to wear, and he's like, oh, I hope you waxed. And he's like, no, I don't think you should wear that dress. You should wear something like, you know, that completely and utterly covers yourself. What do you say? He goes, you should be like Mount Kilimanjaro on your first date. Inaccessible. And he goes, and it's like, this is really humiliating. He's trying to stop his wife sleeping with another man.
Yeah.
In front of his two kids, and they know exactly what he's doing.
It's about as dysfunctional as you could possibly.
Yeah.
Those kids are going to grow
it's
up.
It's so
to be,
desperate.
I do not know
how
what.
Can they ever have any respect for him ever again?
Yeah. But they're still like exactly. Right. So then we've pretty much got the ending after that moment, because it's unveiled that he was Daniel Robin Williams after all, and then Sally Field's in shock, and then you've got the final courtroom scene, and this is another bit. where I completely blanked it out of my memory when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I just don't think I understood it or something.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, right, the show's over now because they realise it's him. And I just kind of zoned out for the rest of the film because I don't remember any of this. But they kind of, it's kind of realistic, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. They're saying, well, you've committed fraud on a mass scale. You're in breach of the custody because you're around your kids. So that means you can only see them whilst being supervised because you are an absolute mental case, mate.
Do you know what I found really what? Funny? Because it would look in a serious court case, this would look like absolutely just mentally insane. Do you know what I completely didn't realise as well? He's defending himself. He hasn't got a lawyer. There's no lawyer that will take his case on because he's just absolutely fucked. Like that's why he's defending himself
because he can't get anyone.
Because he's got a job. He's held down the job. He's got the money and everything. But no lawyer will defend him. So that's why he's defending.
Very good point. Yeah. He just doesn't. Yeah. No one will touch it. No one will touch that case.
Yeah.
Very good point. So then it's just a really harsh ending. Though you feel so sorry for it because you've been on the journey.
Well, again, this is the main thing of. Like how we can link this to bad nostalgia, and it's the fact that they're not getting back together. As a kid, I always thought, well, they're on good terms now. They're gonna, you know, eventually get back.
He'll
together.
Bring it round.
They're not. The film's about divorce and how, you know, parents are sometimes better off without each other.
Yeah.
In my child mind, like
in a badly written version of it, but a way more conventional Hollywood ending. You know, Sally Field would have gone to the toilets with Mrs. Doubtfire in her meal. They would have been putting on Lippy together. And then they would have had a little laugh, and then all of a sudden they would have been getting off with each other. And
hello!
then he would have ripped off the mask, and then it would have shown it was actually Robin Williams in the drag all along. And then they would have sailed off into the sunset.
Yeah,
which would have been obviously completely implausible. But
do you find it weird as well that like so he's been this creepy sort of. Cross-dressing, you know, father babysitter, as you described it. He's had this really, he's done this behaviour which is considered, you know, potentially harmful towards children. He's been to court. He's pretty much been sued for it. He's got to have supervised visitation rights. And then what do they decide to do? They make a national TV show out of it, technically.
Yeah.
In Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. You would think what would be the legal implications of that? I mean, this guy is so insane, he can't even get a lawyer to represent him, yet it makes great TV.
It's like no one hearing, like, it's like no one knowing who Michael Jackson is, right? Michael Jackson setting up the Neverland Ranch, having kids in his bed, and then a TV producer going, Michael, I want to make a TV show with you in it. That's exactly...
just in the bed.
Yeah, just in the bed
with cookies, milk and cookies and condoms, and it'd be perfect. Right, so, and again, like with Back to the Future, you've got this really ultra-realistic compromised ending where it's ambitious, it's optimistic, but Mummy and Daddy go their separate ways, and it's, like, really bittersweet and quite, like, more of a commitment to kind of the reality of the situation rather than the fantasy. And it's like, well, it's a film about a man who dresses up as a 60-year-old woman to spy on his kids. It's not... Why are you suddenly committing to realism when it's just clearly a really kind of fantasized version of reality? It's insane. So they just tag on that reality bit right on the end.
When it goes that bit where it goes like, oh, you ripped my heart out, would you come back and do it again?
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful.
It's heartbreaking. But it really gets me now, you know. It really does.
As a kid, I was like, you two, just make up because everything's going to be fine. It's a kid's film. Nothing bad happens. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
No.
And then they ride off into the sunset with Daddy to go back to his disgusting apartment.
Yeah.
Right, so we have completely covered the film now, and we're going to do the film trivia time after a few words from our sponsors.
Bad nostalgia.
The hell are you doing to my car?
Hey, beat it, spook. This don't concern you.
Who are you calling spook, Peckerwood?
We'll ruin your childhood.
We certainly will. Us kids are at Bad Nostalgia. Follow us on Twitter, at Bad Nostalgia, at Bad Nostalgia. Tweet us right now. Had a good time so far, Pete. We've covered the whole film, haven't we?
It's been great, mate. Yeah,
we've been working hard.
You've been
working overdrive, mate.
It's been really, really good.
Yeah.
I felt... Do you know what? I felt,
it's been emotional, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I felt a little bit rusty last week, mate, with Back
Did
to
you?
The Future.
I know I was telling you this,
but now, tonight, I feel like we've really, really touched on...
You've been very slick, mate. You've been very sharp.
We've touched on
stonkers.
When we first met up to decide to do the show, this is what I imagined it to be, this episode, you know, really touching on just all the depressing things you missed as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We've run this one dry.
This is really what the show's about.
Yeah, we've portrayed this film in a completely different light now.
That's exactly
what we wanted to do.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
And now we're going to... yes, indeedy. And Michelle's been an absolute stonker with them sound effects. We were a bit rushy last week with it, weren't we? Because we didn't know what was going on.
Michelle's having the time of
her
life.
She's not even listening to the show. She's just having a little...
She does this at home.
Yeah, she definitely does. Right, so we've got... What we're going to have now is... For some people's favourite part of the show now is the film trivia time.
Film trivia time.
Right, Pete, what you got? What happened behind the scenes that was a bit weird, a bit messed?
Okay, so according to sort of like Robin Williams' biography or something like that.
Okay.
He decided to test out the believability of Mrs. Doubtfire's character.
This is the best piece.
During filming, he decided to go as Mrs. Doubtfire into an adult bookstore.
Yeah.
And make a purchase.
Why do that?
To see if he would be recognised. But I don't understand. Am I reading this right? Like, an adult bookstore? Are we talking about a porno? Store.
What I saw is he went to not an adult bookstore, but a pawn shop.
But why would he? He's dressed.
And he bought a dildo and other toys. That's what I saw.
But he's dressed. Indeed. But he's dressed as a pensioner. Why would that make it believe it? Why doesn't he go to bingo?
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
Why doesn't he look after some kids? Why doesn't he go to a park? Yeah, why doesn't he play bingo?
You're going to get strange looks. If you buy a dildo, it doesn't matter how you're dressed. Yeah.
And he didn't go there to like make people laugh. They said he played it really straight and just bought the dildo to see if someone would believe that he would do that. But it's like, well, what's the fucking film? It's about an old woman who's like obsessed with sex. Why is he doing it?
Turn up going, I'm your new housekeeper, and pulls out a massive dildo.
Yeah. I don't know how it helps.
I know.
He's going
it doesn't
for
make
method,
any sense.
But in a completely irrelevant way. It's like Robert De Niro preparing for the taxi driver by dressing up as a woman. It's like you're doing the wrong thing. I appreciate your commitment. Well, I don't actually, because it's quite fucking creepy, but... I don't know why he did that. It's brilliant. I don't know if I believe that. It's just, I think it's potentially just a funny story he made up to tell
just
people.
Just get on a bus.
I would love to have seen it, though. I would love to have seen it. Figaro. Oh, yeah. What were you going to say, sorry? Just get on a bus.
No, that's all she needed to do to blend in.
Just get on a bus.
Go to bingo. Get on a bus.
Buy some Wills Originals.
Yeah.
Give him to whoever sits next to
have
you.
Have a fall in Tesco. Yeah. Just, that's all you need
I mean,
to
how
do.
Far did he take have a fall in Tesco?
Yeah.
How far did he take it as well? I mean, did he just buy the dildo or did he want to experience what it was like to be an old woman who fucking sorts herself out?
Hello! You were waiting for that.
Michelle, you've been too good tonight. I can't keep up with how good Michelle Sankey's at. Like, no, where does he draw the line? Like, did he just buy it and leave it? That's a waste. Use it, mate. You've got a hole of sorts.
He gets the dildo and then he's just there, just using it in the middle of a library going, this is what old women do. I'm just blending in.
But you know, 60 plus women, they still have sexual desire. So maybe he did want to explore that. Maybe that did help with the character.
You're right. I'm being very judgmental.
Yeah, don't be judgmental, mate. Open your mind. Don't be as un-PC as Robin Williams in this film. Right, so next trivia point. I've got one here. So as we touched upon before, Robin Williams has this obviously this improvised way of performing, and he made this film so good because clearly the film is built around the way he would just improvise. Because so many things I just don't think would ever be scripted, like all the voices and stuff. And apparently he just dictated the level of adultness that was in this film. So they said, apparently, I think it was according to IMDb, there was so much improvisation that ranged from kiddie-friendly to really hardcore kind of stand-up that they actually cut a PG version of the film, a PG-13 version of the film, an R version, and an NC-17, which is like our version of an 18.
Yeah.
Those different versions do actually exist out there. There is an 18 certificate version of Mrs. Doubtfire out there. So maybe that is why he went to the fucking sex shop. Because maybe she, when she sees Pierce Brosnan, she gets pissed off. Maybe she thinks, right, I need it. And they have an uncut version of him bending over. Sorry.
What happened to be in America?
And maybe the scene where his son sees him having a wee. You're not just seeing the trickle of wee. You're seeing like a little nubbin of a knob over the horizon of his skirt, and you're seeing what the sun's seeing, and you're closer to the sun because you're relating to the explicit monkey hair penis that Robin Williams has. God, there's been so much cock talk in this episode. It's totally legit though, isn't it? Because it's about a man who's got a willy.
Yeah, yeah.
In a skirt.
Yeah. So
it's the theme of the film. Absolutely. So it's not us being all disgusting. It's, you know, it's relevant.
Yeah.
Right, got any more bits of trivia?
I have, mate. Right, this is quite specific. Okay, you know I'm known for this stuff. Mr. Sprinkles. Right, okay.
Who's that?
Mr. Sprinkles is, you know, the postman who comes in when they're filming Mrs. Doubtfire at the end.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He visits Mrs. Doubtfire and he gives her a flyer and goes, "Hello, Mrs. Doubtfire."
Yeah.
Right. When he's handing the mail to her, which is a play on words. Did you get that?
You know what? I've never gotten it before, but when I watched it last night, I actually laughed slightly to myself because I heard him say flyer, and I didn't understand that joke, but I just went with it because I
just think that guy is so old, and in the film he's like this, because he's the guy who was originally doing the bit with the dinosaurs, wasn't he? But he's so old and like just, you know, losing it. Did he actually like see Robin Williams doing a bit of improv and think, yeah, you check this out, guys. Do you know what I mean? He came in and went, "Hello, Mrs. Doubtflyer," and they just kept it in and went, "That's fucking brilliant, Ronald. We're keeping that in." No, he's mental. He's actually mental.
We'll definitely cut it. And then they just forgot to cut it.
Because I just don't think it's funny, or I've never even seen it. How would Mrs. Doubtflyer, because he's got a flyer. It doesn't make... He's
don't knock it, Pete. It's genius. He was 80. All the kids, none of them had careers, did they? We like to do a bit of a "Where are they now?" kind of thing. The youngest one retired at like 20 odd.
She's doing well though. I can't remember what it is, but
she writes and directs. Yeah, and she's releasing a book.
She's big on Twitter as well.
Is she?
Yeah, yeah.
What does she do now? She's really anti kind of Hollywood now, though.
Yeah, yeah.
They all are. Well, the other girl is as well.
Yeah,
but the lad,
I think she's a lecturer or something, but it's not related to acting. Yeah, yeah.
Rosie said she looks really weird nowadays.
Yeah.
But I don't know if she's just saying that because, like, you're...
Child actors do, mate. If you're a really good-looking kid, when you're older, you usually look, like, horrendous.
Look a bit dumpy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it usually goes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Or if you're ugly as a kid, you look great when you're older.
I like the way Michelle uses the sound cue sometimes when we're, like, about to drop off.
Yeah.
I can't even speak. Yeah, like, wake up, guys. Right, so I think I'm all done.
I've got one more
Have
little
got
bit.
One more? Go on.
Okay, you know where he goes to get his makeup done and everything. He gets dressed up, and the kid goes, "Who did it?" And he goes, "Uncle Frank and Aunt Jack."
Yeah, yeah.
According to trivia, Robin Williams said that because one of his favourite shows was something called Aunt Jack, and it's like, was it? Was it really?
No. No, it wasn't.
It's off, Lou.
yeah, thank you. Right, good. So we're all there. We're done.
Yeah,
we've trivied it up to the max. I didn't have as much as you. Sorry about that, Pete. It was hard to find it actually. And we're gonna do the final count of all the sex, violence, and horror out of 5 in a couple of minutes' time. But first, we'll have a couple of words from our sponsors. Thank you.
Starburst Magazine. Starburst Magazine. The world's longest running magazine of sci-fi horror and fantasy. Get the latest news, features, interviews, and reviews from your favorite genre. Available from a newsagent near you or download to your iPad today.
Bad nostalgia.
Hey, you. Get your damn hands off.
Oh. George, help me, please.
Just turn around, McFly, and walk away.
We'll ruin your childhood.
And we're back with the final count out of 5, Pete. Right, so, out of 5, what do you give this film inappropriateness level out of 5 for the sex?
The sex. I'm going to go for a 3.
I'm going to give it a 3 as well. It was not overt, but it's consistent. There's a little bit of it that's consistent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The penis underneath the blouse.
And also all the stuff he says in the restaurant at the end.
Oh, he goes on a massive, doesn't he? Like, so many puns and innuendos, but they're like, he says cunnilingus at one point.
Yeah, he said cunning linguistics, rumple foreskin. Just like, yeah.
Right, good. Yeah. Language?
Language. There's a few shits in it, I think. I think I'm going to go with three again.
Three? Okay, I'm going to give it a two, because I don't remember them, but I think you are right. There's stuff there, isn't there? Violence out of five?
It's got to be, I don't know, a one.
Yeah, I'm going to give it what's minimal, isn't it? I mean, he does try to kill someone.
Yeah.
But it's in quite a friendly way. If you're going to go, I'd like to go through eating spicy food.
I would as well.
I love spicy food.
Yeah.
Horror.
Horror.
It's minimal, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's minimal. And it depends what kind of horror you're talking about.
Depends what you mean by horror.
Sexual confusion horror.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite high.
Well, I'm going to go for a three.
Three, right. I've done it as one, actually, I have to say all that.
Have you?
And we do have quite a few racial bonus points.
We do. It's got to be a four,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I've gone for a four as well. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've gone 11, which is not an incredibly high score. What's yours?
14.
14, so average to low. But
it's average, but bloody hell, we've had a good time.
Yeah, there was so much to discuss.
Yeah,
oh my God, and listen out for us next week, because we've got the grand stanking, stonking E.T., which I have literally not seen since the 80s. And we'll see you there. Just keep following us at Bad Nostalgia, at Bad Nostalgia. So let's keep rocking this. See you next time.